It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
The twice or thrice?
Three.
Award-winning international radio segment, California Wine Country. We find out in about a week whether we've been nominated again for three awards for the Taste Awards in L.A., and we find out in about a week what we've won. That's always a fun thing. Today is Peshmel Day. John Pepe, the winemaker at Peshmel, one of my favorite places and one of my favorite dudes, is back with us. Dan Berger, my co-host, of course, and my other co-host, Barry Herbst. This is brought to you by Bottle Barn, and Barry's the wine buyer at Bottle Barn. You've got the most bitchin' new car. Even Mike got a brand new Mustang, but yours is even bitchinger.
That's why I'm on time. Thanks to my new car.
He was showing me this. This is a, it's a, can we say?
Yeah.
It's a BMW smart car?
i3, electric.
Electric car.
It's a plug-in and gas.
Wow.
So the Diamond Lane is changing my life.
Yeah, I bet.
It's nice.
Yeah, you don't have to have a cardboard dummy in the passenger seat. You can. That's very cool. John, welcome. Great to see you again.
Hey, thank you. Good to see you, too.
Big fan of Peshmel. Dan?
Great wines, and John's only been in the business a handful of years on his own. Previous to that, he was hired gun. Now he's got his own thing, and this is great. This is fabulous. How long have we known each other, John? About 30 years, I think.
Oh, something like that.
But, you know, it was really
funny. Same tasting group for...
Forever, yeah. But what's interesting is that all those years I kept wondering, when were we going to see a John Pepe wine, and we finally began to see them, and they're really fabulous.
Yeah.
It's terrific.
Well, it's a group effort. You know, Bruce and Cheryl Lawton own the winery, and I was I helped them start it. It started with the inception of building a winery on Dry Creek Road. They bought the property, and then they started the winery. So,
well, give us, again, as I always ask, even repeat, appearance people, John, tell us about your history as a winemaker and how you got started.
It's a family affair, you know, because I'm Italian on both sides of the family. So when you're born into an Italian family, your training starts early. Both grandfathers made wine at home.
So did mine.
Yeah.
You know my Italian grandfather.
Your president or dad's, yeah. Right? And my dad's dad made wine in Cleveland, and my mom's dad made wine in Brooklyn.
Nice.
And they would actually ship California grapes back there, right, Dan?
That's right.
They would put them, you know, in lug boxes on trains, and they'd go down and wherever they got.
And in the dry states, they would get these boxes that said, do not add sugar or it will ferment.
Yeah. And so then they'd add the sugar
and ferment. Yeah,
exactly.
So the training started early on, and it's just continued ever since. So, and of course, when you're born into winemaking like that, it's just something you're naturally it's in part of your DNA, and you're always interested in it. And
so, did you learn from your grandfather's, your father, or did you go to Davis or anything?
Yeah, no, I didn't go to Davis, but you learn the pour, then you learn the swirl, then you learn the throwback. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's, you've got to go to school for this stuff, Steve.
My grandfather,
come on,
comes naturally.
My grandfather, what's the matter for you? Huh?
He would bring out his homemade wine at Sunday dinner, and you know, my folks and everybody was drinking it, and he'd go, Stevie, come here.
Yeah, right.
And he'd pour me some and go, you know, and my mom would go, Pop, come on, not too much. And he'd fill my glass, you know, not fill it, but he'd pour a few tastes. And
Stevie, drink it. It's good for you.
And my grandfather would make both of them. They would make a pink wine with Bubble Up. Remember that? The competitor.
Oh, God,
the competitor with
7-Up,
yeah, and put a little tiny bit of red wine in it. And
wow.
So it was like a Shirley
course.
Temple or a Roy Rogers of its
yeah.
time.
Well, you know, back
that's
then,
how you started. It was
my sister and I wouldn't, during the week, my mom didn't want us drinking Coca-Cola or Pepsi, but my grandparents, my grandmother would say, another Coke? And we'd drink the Cokes, and then we'd be up all night,
yeah.
Sunday night. So when my grandfather started pouring more wine for us, she kind of just let it go. Yeah,
right.
They're sleeping.
Right to sleep.
They're sleeping in the car on the way home. Let's give them some more.
Get some sleep. So when we moved to Sonoma County, it was all agriculture here.
Prunes. Hops.
Prunes, hops, yeah, cows, animals. And I wanted to change careers, so I got into viticulture, and that's really how I started, was with viticulture.
How long have you been here?
Since 77.
Wow.
So we're kind of a long-timer. I mean, yep. Santa Rosa was a sleepy little town, mm-hmm. rolled up the carpets at 8:30, and, yeah. you know.
Wow. All right, but, so yeah. This Sauvignon Blanc?
Yes, this first wine that we're tasting right now, our brand-new release, 2017, Lake County. Big Valley District.
Yeah, where's Big Valley? I'm not familiar.
It's right around Lakeport.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's kind of Kelseyville. It's just north of the Kelseyville Bench and straddles Highway. I think it's 29 there.
Are right. these right, west-facing right slopes, are they?
Or say again, please?
South-facing or west-facing slopes?
No, actually, they're more. It's actually flat.
Is it?
It's not a slope at all, at least the parts of it that I've seen. But it's kind of riverbed. It's heavy-ish kind of loamy clay.
We got beautiful and, aromatics on this wine.
Really it's, nice. It's really warm up there. So, you know, Sauvignon Blanc loves the heat. Mm-hmm. And just why Dry Creek is so good a place to grow Sauvignon Blanc.
So you mentioned off-air that you don't sell this Sauvignon Blanc, this brand-new one, at the winery?
We do not sell this one in our tasting room.
In the tasting room,
this is a little more for wine by the glass, restaurant, wine shops.
Does Barry have it?
Yeah.
We do well with it.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that. I think it's around something.
You know, the wines that we have in the tasting room are kind of a little more on the handcrafted department, wine club wines, a little higher end, a little more expensive. Our tasting room is right downtown Geyserville.
It's cool.
So we're in the heart of.
It's always closed when I'm there. I'm usually having dinner at Diablo. And I'm like, wow, I got to come back when the tasting room's
yeah,
open.
Yeah, we close at 6.
Yeah.
And if you're going to come, just let us know.
Yeah, no, it looks really nice.
Let Jenna know. And yeah, it's really, really fun.
We got to talk again. We got to talk again about the name because if people get confused. It's P E C H M E R L E, like
right.
Merle Haggard. But it's pronounced Peshmel.
Peshmel.
So explain that story again.
Well, that's
on the board, too, the pronunciation. That's good.
It's hard to say, but it's easy to understand. Easy to drink, Steve.
Yeah, definitely easy to drink.
It's easier to say after you.
But, you know, people.
No minor detail there.
People
but.
Come up to me and go, hey, I had some Petch Merle on the other night. It was really good.
It's named after an ancient cave in the south of France. And it's. The civilization that lived there was 25,000 years ago. It's famous for its cave art. It's a bit of a tourist destination. And so our plan is to build an underground winery at the property in Dry Creek.
Nice.
Where this whole thing started. And, you know, Bruce Lawton manufactures structural concrete for bridges, tunnels, and caves.
That's right.
He explained that when he was here a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And so when they were at Peshmel, you know, cruising around looking at it, spelunking around, they thought, hey, this is great. You know, they fell in love with the place and thought we should start our winery in Dry Creek using our product and name it after the Peshmel Caves.
When was the first vintage for them?
You know, it was 2008.
Okay. And
so
you were there?
Yeah, I was there from the start.
Yeah.
And 2017 actually wrapped up our 10th vintage.
Yeah, okay, good.
Well, it's up to you. Yeah.
No, because I want to take the Sauv Blanc home. So.
Oh, sure. Pass this right on over to
Flip
you.
Flip it into the trunk of his car.
And,
don't mess with the host,
moving right along.
Slap down.
Now, what? Rosé?
This next wine is also a wine kind of meant more for by the glass restaurant marketplace. It's called Vin Rosé de Syrah. The fruit is sourced. It's also a rosé of Syrah. It's from Mendocino County, and this was bottled, I would say, within the last month.
Wow.
And it's a bit of a mouthful. It's you know, these kinds of wines are meant to be juicy and refreshing.
Well,
and
this is certainly juicy.
Really. Really kind of inspire you to want to kick back and take another sip and have a little something to eat. You know,
the aromatics of this wine are interesting because it's Syrah, but it gives you the aromatics that you never, ever see in a red. So it has this sort of flowery, almost rose petal component to it, which is not really evident in the red wines of Syrah.
And, you know, it's just starting to come out because it was bottled on the 6th of February.
Wow.
Our philosophy is to, you know, cold ferment it for a long time, keep all those aromatics, keep it fresh and crisp, which is a really important part of it. And I know, Dan, you're a real proponent of pH. Low pH, strong acidic structure, and those kinds of things, and that's what you get here.
It has the aftertaste of a wine halfway between red and white, which is exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. It's halfway between red and white.
Right.
Now, Dan L.I.D. Burger, as I call him. Dan Lay It Down Burger. These are the kind of wines, and as they're so young and new. Them down?
I would not age the rosé because it's so delightful. But surprisingly enough, what I found in the Sauvignon Blanc is you can drink it now and you absolutely adore the wine now. But anybody who's got a little bit of patience is going to be rewarded with about 2 more years on that
really?
Sauvignon Blanc. It's going to be great wine.
Yeah. I want to ask you, Dan, about, we keep talking about all the – everyone's making rosés now. As the late, great Ben Pearson used to say, in the old days – men didn't want to be seen drinking pink wine, but now they don't care, and everyone loves rosés, and everyone's making them. And we see rosés with Pinot, right? And,
yep.
And Syrah, like
yep.
This one. What do you think the blending grape is? Which grape is leading the blending on most Syrahs?
The best rosés, in my opinion, are made from Grenache. When you can get good Grenache, low tonnage, and with good flavor, Grenache gives you a maraschino cherry characteristic that you cannot get from just about any other grape. I love Pinot Noir as well. I think Pinot Noir does fabulously as a rosé. I've tasted rosé from 15 other different red wine grapes, and they're all very interesting and usually very tasty because they keep them dry. But if you really want a good one, Grenache is the one to go for.
What about the Syrah, though?
This Syrah is fabulous, and what's interesting is that if you didn't pick this early, you'd lose this. What was your harvest regime on this, John?
Well, you're right. Picking it early is important. You get just a little different aspect of the fruit. Tends to be a little spicier, a little more like red fruit, light cherry or strawberry, say, or light pomegranate. But also you want to keep the acidity because, you know, Syrah tends to be kind of a low-acid grape anyway. And then it's whole cluster pressed. This is not a Sanier product where we bleed off juice out of a red fermenter.
Not easy to make these.
Yeah, a lot of people shy away from Syrah, I think, because it's tricky.
It's a lot of work. It's you know what? It's also kind of hard to get because after the Syrah disaster with sideways kicking everybody to the curb except Pinot Noir,
right.
Nobody could sell their Syrah grapes anymore.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people butted
over. I thought they were just kicking Merlot down the...
It did virtually everything to every other red wine grape.
Well, Merlot is still a massive seller, except it's kind of a $10 bottle of wine or $15 bottle of wine.
It's coming back,
but
Syrah is still struggling, though, and there's not as many out there for that reason.
Yeah, but the market now for Syrah grapes is unexpectedly strong because so many people want to make rosé out of it.
Well,
so
it does really have a certain permanence in the bottle. The nice thing about Syrah is that it doesn't dissipate with an extra year on the bottle. It just... still keeps coming on, giving it a little bit more of that red wine flavor.
Yeah, and I like the strength of the pink color. Mm. Too many red wines will the color will oxidize early. Like I think Pinot is one of those. It kind of gets that orangey look.
Early on.
Syrah tends to keep its color. So anyway, this is meant to kind of go head to head with the Provence wines, which tend to be lighter. You can see the difference between these two rosés. We're going to talk about this second rosé in a minute. And it is starting to take on that kind of rose petal, or I kind of thought it was maybe like a little bit of like a dried flower cachet or a sachet maybe that it's starting to get, something like that.
A little bit of that. It's probably going to be stronger in about 6 months. It really has a tendency to develop in the bottle, and most people don't realize that rosé is not always to just drink immediately. Sometimes you wait an extra 6 months and it gets better.
Really? Well, the flavors on this, the front of the palate and everything, I just adore.
Very fresh.
The finish is a little sweet for me.
Cindy will have this to roll out.
I don't know why.
No, it's probably
it just gives
cool.
an impression of it. I think it's the fruit.
What's the alcohol, fruit. John?
It's low 13s, 13.6.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good
most
structure.
Of our rosés I've seen that have been presented to me are darker than this. And I think it's probably hard to keep that light color and still get all the flavors you want out of it, right?
It is, definitely.
Yeah. And we have yet to hit the hot season yet.
That's right.
As soon as the warm weather comes, this is going to be the killer wine.
Well, at least in California, I don't know if there is a rosé season anymore. Because I think, like you said, people are drinking it year-round.
Yeah, I haven't taken my displays down. I still have five or six stacks and then a whole row of single rosés.
And Barry from Bottle Barn, a lot of Pechmel wines.
Pretty much everything they'll sell us. Yeah. All their Zins. We'll bring the rosé. I've been trying to hold off on rosés because of the weather, and I want to finish the 16s before I bring in too many 17s. But it's hard to hold back. There's a wave of rosé
there
in the shores right now.
Now, is the other Syrah, is that the tasting room only?
This is tasting room only, wine club only.
And that's called Ivy Rose.
Ivy Rosé. Ivy Rose. Ivy, the person, Ivy, is our creative director.
Ivy Rose Hutton.
And we didn't know that her name, you know, we didn't know her middle name was Rose for the first 5 years that we knew this person. And
it's a beautiful name,
when
Ivy
when
Rose
we were,
Hutton.
You know, flailing about looking for a name for this product, she says, well, why don't you name it Ivy Rose? Why would we do that? Well, it's because it's my name. And so it really sounds great, and it's been a really big hit. And as you can see, this has a little more color, and it's the way I kind of see rosé tasting, meaning that it's got a little more of a berry character, a little more watermelon. That's just my personal preference. So as the winemaker, I get to kind of exert my influence on it.
I see what you did, though. I think you really made a wonderful decision to leave the fruit on the fruit in contact with the juice for a little bit of additional time to give you a little bit more weight. This is really leans toward red. It's not a red wine. It's definitely pink.
Right.
But it has a little bit more of that weight in the mid palate. It's great, great stuff.
Well, the alcohol is 14.1, so you can see it stayed on the vine longer and got a little richer color, a little more fruit to it. But
ooh, really got fruity. That
it's raspberries.
It's more lush.
Yeah. Raspberries.
It's more fruit-driven.
This is a 16.
This is a 16.
Yeah, so this had a full year in the bottle, too.
This had a full year.
It's pretty nice.
It was bottled almost exactly a year ago. And they really have some aging potential, these wines.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how
they can develop.
You lay down a rosé and how nice they are.
Mm.
But it's a little softer, a little more lush, not quite as juicy, you might say, as the Mendocino rosé.
Right.
And this is on the skins longer, or is it just kept out because the grapes are...
Yeah, I try to keep it in the press a little bit longer so there's skin contact, you know, where the color comes from. But also because it's riper, then it's going to bleed color. Grapes are going to bleed color more naturally.
So it's a combination of the two is why it's so much darker than the 17.
Okay. We got to take our break here. Yeah. John Pepe, a winemaker at Pechmel Winery, is with us. Of course, the Bottle Barn Wine Bar. Bar. Barry Herbst is with us, and my co-host Dan Berger. We shall be back on California Wine Country. I just got word on my phone that two more Russian athletes in the Winter Olympics are giving back their medals because they tested positive. And I have to explain to everyone, too, that Mike DeWald had to give something back today because he tested positive for food poisoning. The poor dude. He's not having a good day. Yeah, he's a far better man than I. I would be in bed right now no matter what. I would have said, screw you, I'm not coming in. But he's here. He's been here all day.
He's on his knees, though.
He is on his knees, and he's a tad pale. Poor guy. But he'll be much better tomorrow, thank God. All right, it's California Wine Country, the internationally award-winning show. We're up for three more nominations at the Taste Awards in Los Angeles this month. And... we'll keep you posted. We'll find out what we've won soon. We're even up for Best Podcast, which I really am happy about. First time we've done that. You can get our podcasts at calwinecountry.com or iTunes or Stitcher or whatever. I don't have the thing in front of me that Chris in L.A. wants me to say, but I'm sure he's listening and he'll text me and I can say it again. And anyway, John Pepe, winemaker at Peshmel Winery, is with us. Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn. This is all brought to you by our friends at Bottle Barn. Dan Berger is my co-host. And, wow, Pinot.
This Pinot. 2013?
2013, right.
Killer.
Yeah, would you really lay this down, lay down?
I would, actually. And the lay reason for burger. It is that the right now the wine is halfway between its fruity stage and its, shall we call it, its funky stage, which I really love, funky stage Pinot Noirs. This one's got a trace of that, sort of the walk in the forest after a rain. But what's really wonderful about this, it's got such penetrating fruit that as time goes by, this thing is just going to get better and better. Yeah. I would say at age 10, this will be at its peak. Maybe,
really?
Maybe more, yeah. This is just a killer wine.
It's halfway there.
It's halfway there, and it's already beginning to show the actual bottle bouquet that has it will always develop in these wines, sometimes not to this degree. This is really a great, great example. And, you know, we're seeing 15s and 16s already. This is what a treat to try a 13. It's a beautiful wine.
Yeah, and 13.6 alcohol, which I think is important because you...
That's low.
It is low. Yeah. And it's you know, with Pinot, it's so much about when you pick it. But to Dan's point, you get such charm and finesse and subtlety, and the wine becomes more feminine with time, and it really just you know, charm you to no end. And
the
just fruit changes in the glass
on the finish. The fruit just kills me.
Candy quality that the real higher alcohol and ripe. And some people really like that. This is way more.
Steve,
balanced.
One of the things that you said was you said it fruit, and as the wine was when this wine was younger. It had, there's more pieces of it. You could see piece of this, a piece of that piece. Now you can't see the pieces. Now you see the whole. This is, it's all coming together. It's like a jigsaw puzzle when you finally get that last.
So lay it down another 5 years.
I would say for most people that they'd be enjoying it tonight. But if you if you lost a bottle for 3 months, 5, 6 months, 10 months, it just gets better.
Wow. Barry, Bottle Barn?
Yes, we've got it. I don't know the exact price, but I think it's in the 20s for
sure. Wow.
And what a bargain.
2013 Pinot from Peshmel.
Yeah, we're lucky that was a long, high yield year because we're getting a lot of good wine staying on the market.
And our release program allows us to hold on to it for a little while before we release it.
I believe in holding Pinot Noir back. Before it's allowing some of the bottle bouquet to develop.
Yeah, this is this wine has stepped to the podium with some really great scores, won some gold medals, 95 points at the California State Fair, and a gold, of course. And I didn't mention that the 16 Ivy Rosé just took a double gold at the San Francisco International last month, which is, you know, amongst the impressive field of rosés that they had there, that's pretty good.
Nice. Very
so,
nice.
Rosé, to get back to the Pinot, the more hands-off you are in the winemaking process, the better the results are going to be to get out the finesse and the charm of that grape because it just takes on such different character when it has a chance to age. And most people miss that because, you know, they bought it for drinking tonight or drinking soon, and you can't blame them for that. But there's a lot to be said for giving it a few years in the bottle.
I think Dan's taking that one home.
It's official.
If it gets home.
Make
it. That's nice.
You want to borrow my valet and chauffeur to take you home? You can drink in the back of the car.
I don't know.
We could just keep talking about that.
John Pepe is with us, winemaker at Peshmel since their first vintage. Of course, Dan Berger, my co-host. What did you write about today in the PD?
What did I write about
today? I know you wrote it a while ago.
Oak flavors and Cabernet Sauvignon, and why Cabernet Sauvignon these days smells more like barrels than it does like grapes. And
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, some people love the smell of oak. I prefer to smell fruit. I mean, to me, it's about grapes. That's what we're here in this county for. We're growing the grapes. Might as well let them be the speaking point. And I'm not disparaging those wines. If the oak is an important part of your marketing strategy, hey, go for it.
That's in the Press Democrat on Wednesdays and PressDemocrat.com, Dan Berger. All right, John Pepe.
Okay. Present. Present and accounted for here.
Everybody got their dump buckets.
Yes. So we're moving on to a little more powerful program here.
I would say that.
Yeah, this is 2014 Cuccio Vineyard Zinfandel.
2014 was a really powerful vintage.
It was.
After two really good vintages, 12 and 13 were really wonderful vintages, but 14 was really the powerhouse vintage.
Yeah. Really?
And this is really concentrated stuff, and it's got some beautiful, if you imagine smoked meats with this.
I was just going to say, break out the baby back ribs with
there
this.
There we go.
Yes. Anything my baby,
braised,
baby, baby
stew,
back ribs.
You know, barbecue sauce, caramelized. Mm-hmm.
This would handle it, no problem.
You know, my personal rule is it's got to smell really terrific and taste even better. Because we've all, you know, bought a bottle of wine, open it, smell it. Oh, this smells great! And you taste it, and it's pretty insipid after.
Yeah, they don't match up.
Yeah, they don't match up. You know,
really? This one's got a concentration. What was the aging regime? How long did it spend in the barrel?
I bottle before the next vintage, so just
great.
About 11 months. Yeah, about 40% new oak. And Zin is the only wine that gets some American oak. Mm-hmm. Trying to source wood from the American forest in the Pennsylvania Appalachian Mountains.
Really?
Because it has such a high vanilla content.
Pennsylvania is interesting for oak selection because in a lot of American wineries, they're using oak from central part of the United States in Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a warmer region. Therefore, the grain is broader. Therefore, the oak gives up more flavors. It's in Pennsylvania, you've got tighter grained oak, so you have more control over the oak extract.
Because it's cooler.
Cooler.
Cooler, less rainfall, more snow and ice.
Right.
Narrower grain. You can look at the barrel and
see
the grain difference. It really is.
Wow. Last time I visited Ridge Vineyards in Santa Cruz, they were experimenting with 14 different states of oak.
Oh, wow.
They had Missouri, Kentucky, Pennsylvania was in there.
And the real failure was Florida.
Well, that's usually the case, in my opinion. But
it might have been Bath
for the Cypress barrels.
Dan, talk about the nose on this.
This is really black raspberry, almost a jam component with a little bit of spice. That the spice note, it's hard to put your finger on it, but it sort of reminds me a little bit of cumin almost. It's got some Middle Eastern spice note.
Really?
I don't know where it probably comes from the barrel, but it's really delicious.
Well, it's the Cuccio Vineyard. It's a small vineyard. We buy the entire thing. First of all, it's planted to the Deaver clone, which you might know comes from Amador County.
Still have a bottle of the 72.
It's, famous one.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the oldest Zin clones in California.
Yeah.
And it's on the eastern ridgetop, and the soil up there it looks like terracotta. It's really red. And there's so much synergy with the red soil and Zinfandel vines planted on St. George, you know, rootstock, and then whatever your top wood is.
Start to think about pizza with this wine.
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
Really balanced.
You know, I always think about pizza.
Yeah.
No matter what.
You don't need wine to make you think about it.
This Calistoga water is pretty good. I want pizza!
It's indigenous to our species. But the...
Wow. What's the alcohol on
it? It's high. It's 15.2. And you know, Zinfandel has to be...
I took one sip and there's two mics.
Yeah. Well,
this?
Zinfandel just tastes better when it hangs out. And it's a really tricky thing because it's so easy to go overboard with ripeness. Too much sugar, too much alcohol. It gets real raisiny and porty. It's hard to control fermentation.
Yeah.
They don't want to go dry. They end up with sugar in them, you know.
That's why aging Zinfandel is very tricky. You don't want to age Zinfandel unless you know exactly what you have in the bottle.
Yeah.
That's why I look at the tech sheets all the time.
Yeah. So I've been making wine from this vineyard since I think it's 2010. And it takes that long to really get to understand what you're doing there. You know, how the when to pick, how the grapes are going to perform, how you got to treat them. I get kind of a bay leaf, actually, kind of a, you know, when you snap a fresh bay leaf open, mm-hmm. you get that bay spice. It's kind of unique. I really like that about it, but it ages so nicely, and it just becomes its own, I don't want to say fruit bomb, but its own unique fruit thing.
Well, 14 was the vintage. It gives you that.
Really,
I mean, you could probably go an extra year or two because of the vintage alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, your 13 is probably reaching a near peak, but I would think that the 14 has really got a long ways to go.
This is just getting released now.
Whoa.
So you can see, yeah. I was talking about our release program.
Right.
And then we do sell this in the tasting room, and then we've got a few local sources in the community. Bottle Barn,
seller.
Of course, has it. Yeah, it's a very good seller.
Well, as I said, my dear friend Chris DiMatteo is listening in L.A. He is the producer of our podcasts and IT guy for Vicario Productions. And here it is. Here's what I'm supposed to say. We need to print this out, Mike, at some point so I can have it handy. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Android, Stitcher, or our website at calwinecountry.com. Now, iTunes, now with podcasts, since everyone has one, whether you know it or not, you all have podcasts.
Ah.
Yeah. Instead of iTunes, it's now Apple Podcasts. So, but you can find it anywhere great podcasts are featured. And California Wine Country is one of them.
Cool.
What else, guys?
So hedonism is a beautiful thing.
I agree.
Right? And this is this goes along with that lifestyle. All these wines do, I think. That's why we drink wine, right? To enjoy friends and company. And
I have a question for you, John.
Share with people.
John, I want to know, do you have any problems with the early bud break?
I saw that story
in the paper this morning.
Well, I believe it's happening, but we manage a small vineyard that I actually take care of myself, and I've been out pruning, and I was expecting to start to see the sap beginning to flow, and I was glad that it wasn't, because that would really mean that its bud break is coming soon. So I wouldn't surprise me.
There was an article in the PD today.
Absolutely.
Carissa Cruz was quoted.
Bill Swindell wrote the article. It was a really well-done article.
So bud break has started?
Well,
I didn't read the
story said 5% has already budded out. 5% is not a problem.
No, that seems light.
When you start to get to 15%, you're in trouble because some of that is going to be some tonnage that you will probably not be able to use.
Well, I think the indicators are things like all the fruit trees, the fruitless fruit trees you see, the western red buds and the prune trees you see along the road. My peach tree is blooming.
Yeah,
it's at least too. 2 weeks early.
Yeah,
yours is 2 weeks. So that's the indicator.
We had
how
5 days.
The other fruit
we had
are.
5 days of warm weather. They called it the fall spring, which Steve heard about last week.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
problem we always have at this time of year is you don't know what's happening in 3 weeks or 5 weeks, where the frost could come in and kill you. And you know, we had that 1 year, 2008, where in May 1st. We had a frost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I believe it.
Now, what about rain? We're supposed to get some next week.
Shouldn't cause a problem.
Okay, but frost?
Frost.
If there's a bud break and then there's frost, we're in trouble.
You got it. That's it. That's going to kill
it. The end of April on frost, right?
Well, if there's rain ahead, there won't be any frost.
No, that'll be a cooler time, but it'll be a warm enough so that the frost doesn't occur.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, on my peach tree, just for conversation, I think the frost has may already damaged some of the flowers.
Wow.
So
the high winds didn't help either.
You'll have that very good tasting peaches, but not very many of them.
Right. A forced green harvest earlier.
Yeah. I pruned the heck out of it anyway, so we'll see what happens.
Pesch Mel Winery. Again, it's PECHMERLE. PeschMelWinery.com. Check them out.
Come visit the tasting room.
Yeah, talk about the tasting room.
So our tasting room is right downtown Geyserville. We've been there a little over 3 years. Beautiful space. We're between the fire station and the coffee shop. You can't miss us, right in the heart of town.
Except my favorite pizza place, Diavolo.
Nearby.
You mentioned Diavolo.
Guys, you're so small, everything's the heart of town.
We're open seven,
exactly.
7 days a week, 11 to 6. And it's kind of fun in there. We got a lot of things going on. You can come and ride our chairlift. Yeah, if you notice that, in
that
there.
Was cool.
Whoa. The chairlift. I haven't seen that.
We have a chairlift in our tasting room. Isn't there a picture of it there at the website?
I don't know. I'm
now, what's the story about
better than
that?
The Bronco.
We're just wild and crazy guys, you know. Got to do something nutty.
You have a ski resort or anything?
Well, not long after we opened in November. Okay. I guess it's a little over 3 years ago now. And the Winter Wineland event was coming, and so we were brainstorming.
Needed a prop.
What do we need to do? You know, we needed a prop. We needed a theme. So our theme was skiing. And I was tasked. I said, hey, let's maybe get a chairlift, you know. And so everybody laughed. They said, well, if you can get one, we'll put it up. So I looked on Craigslist in the Reno Truckee area, and sure enough, there's a guy selling chairlifts, Steve. It's got 100 chairlifts for
we
sale.
We need one for the studio.
Chairs. Just chairs. And so we happened to have a beam that we could hang it from, and it's just turned out to be exactly the right height off the floor. And
how did your liability lawyer like that?
Might not have gone over well.
It's a terrific photo booth, let me tell you what. It's really fun.
Oh, yeah.
So the tasting room kind of speaks to the California lifestyle. You know, there's
like everybody's got
there's
a
boat in there. You haven't seen the boat. If you looked in the window, you probably saw the boat.
I did see the boat, too. Yeah.
And the guitar that's all lit up and, some of the other things.
Pretty festive-looking environment.
Yeah, we got a nice patio out and back.
Yeah, it's a cool place. I just missed the chair.
So
good reason to go back.
I'll be there.
Come on, you're welcome anytime.
I love the slogan, too, on Peshmel.com, PeshmelWinery.com. Devotion never tasted so good.
That's a good line.
It is. The devoted level is the highest level of our wine club.
That would have been Ivy Rose.
So that would have been Ivy Rose. You know, exactly. She's the fountain of all creativity there, coming up with this stuff.
Easy to drink.
And, people forget, like, how cool Geyserville is. They want to go to Healdsburg, and then they get to Healdsburg.
I love Geyserville.
There's a lot going on there. It's kind of the crossroads to Dry Creek and Alexander Valley, because from the middle of Geyserville, you can go any place.
We always, Blair and I have said for years, Fulton is the gateway to Windsor.
It's good.
Boy, is that an overstatement.
I'm writing that one down. I don't want to forget.
All right, got a couple minutes left on this edition of California Wine Country. Next week, we got Warriors pregame at 4:30, so we're going to start California Wine Country early, like at about 3:45, 3:50. And Dan, we've got Mr. Ramey.
David Ramey should be next week, I hope. We're looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah, amazing stuff.
Yeah.
All right, and Barry Herbst, quick update on Bottle Barn. You guys are just kicking butt as always.
Doing great. Yeah, we're moving the store around a lot, so a lot of the customers
are. Oh, where's the store now?
No, we're just moving it around.
We'll move it to the parking lot here.
We're trying to keep it fresh.
Of course.
We got some new space next door to us, so we're buying larger quantities of wines
to keep
the prices down.
That's right.
So
you mentioned that.
More buying power and better deals for our customers.
Keep in mind, it is where Sonoma Wine Country buys their wine and the best prices, but the best prices and the best selection on beers, craft beers, and spirits as well.
The only thing I can recommend is that people visit with an empty trunk, because you never know what you're going to find there, and you'll always go home with a trunk full that you didn't expect you were going to buy.
John Pepe, the winemaker at Peshmel, you guys are big on events. You got a beautiful tasting room and a beautiful facility. What's coming up?
Yeah, we do a lot of events, Steve. People can go to our website and look at the event calendar. Coming up is, we've got a paella feed and a lobster feed.
Oh, nice.
And we're always dog friendly, so you can always bring your pet.
Yeah, I love that.
Some of them will ride on the chairlift, some of them won't, but great opportunity for a photo shoot there. And there's other events that are wine-centric you've got to buy a ticket for. A tasting of some of our black label wines, which are the reserve wines, or say a vertical tasting. So there's a whole raft of things to do throughout the course of the year. And then, of course, way out in November is the lighted tractor parade.
Oh, yeah, we love that.
In downtown Geyserville.
Yeah,
so you can come and watch that from our tasting room.
We'll have you on before that one again.
Yeah. Okay.
It's PECHMERLE. All right, but it's pronounced Peshmel. go to PeshmelWinery.com. Check out everything they're doing. It's amazing. And John is an incredible winemaker. Barry Herbst, a wine buyer at Bottle Barn. We'll see you next week.
I'll be here.
We'll be early. Dan?
Be here.
All right, with Mr. Ramey. Love you. Good night.